When we talk about resistant free selling, when you want to influence without rejection and resistance, we have to talk about the sales mindset. Harvard studies show that when you look at top sales professional, it's the psychological qualities, it's the mental aspect of the game that makes the biggest difference. And I've been guilty like many of you. You go to these rah-rah seminars, the sales training, and it's all exciting. And I would sit in the back and they'd talk about vision and mindset and goal setting and say to myself, yeah, whatever, give me the tools. I'm telling you right now, interviewing and monitoring top sales professionals, these are the tools, the most important tools. The universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally. How you program your brain is a huge piece of your success. So when you look at top sales professional, what are they doing that you're not doing? How do they program themselves? Why are they making so much more money? Realize too that you cannot borrow sales. You can't borrow success. When you look at your sales, it's your own plot of ground. It's your own area, your own territory, your own lead. What are you planting there? Are you letting the weeds grow? Are you neglecting them? Are you watering them? You've got to earn this piece by piece. You have to customize what works for you. Because when we look at success, I call this exponential success. And you can take a look at horse racing or Olympics. The difference between first and second really isn't that much. So to really increase your sales, it's adjusting this and fine-tuning this. It really isn't that much different than what you're doing. You just need to make some small adjustments. You look at math. We'll go back to your math days. You can get tense and cringe all you want. But here's the reality. Let's take the number 4. You're given the number 4. 4 minus 4 is 0. That's what a lot of people get in sales. But if you just change the math a little bit, 4 plus 4 equals 8, that's doing a lot better. 4 times 4 is 16. Is that where you're at? Or 4 to the 4th power is 256. Same amount of effort. It's still math. You can either get 0 or 256. This is a big piece of your success. So let's stretch your brain. Like Oliver Wendell Holmes says, man's mind stretched to a new idea never goes back to its original dimensions. Let's talk about self-persuasion. Let's talk about mindset. Let's talk about programming your brain for success, because it matters. And this is what sales superstars do. Persuasion tools are great, but if you're not programmed the right way, it really doesn't matter. And so as we monitor those that have very high persuasion IQs, there are certain things we notice that they have in common. Now, the average person, of course, they don't work on their mindset. They don't work on their subconscious mind. They just kind of go through the motions and hope it works out. And that's not what we are looking for. And the difference a lot of times is trying to chop down a tree with a pocket knife versus chopping it down with a chainsaw when you have the right tools. And for some reason, when we talk about mindset or self-persuasion, or even millionaire psychology, why is that the thing everybody tends to work on last? One, they don't think they have a problem with it. They don't need it. In fact, you talk to people that create millionaires that are very successful, they say the biggest obstacle in creating someone that's successful is going to be their mindset. Because when we talk about wealth, for example, you earn what you feel you're worth. 95% of those that win over $1 million in a lottery or a gambling situation will be bankrupt within 5 years. Whether it be in business or in sales, you earn what you feel you're worth. So we have to talk a little bit about this mindset. So let's talk about a few things that'll help you out. Now, the first one is self-discipline. Not anybody's favorite topic, but the reality is in life, you're either going to have discipline or you're going to have regret. And what self-discipline, or we call it willpower, is the bridge between goals and achievement. If you ever read the book Emotional Intelligence, Dr. Goleman actually took two-year-olds, you probably heard of the marshmallow test before, they'd give them a marshmallow and leave the room. And they were told, look, if you don't eat the marshmallow and we come back, you get another one, but if you eat it, that's it. And they noticed that 2 years old, if they resisted, if they had the willpower, that was a direct correlation to their success during their whole life. They followed them for like 20, 30 years. And a lot of studies have been done here with self-discipline and willpower. And this is important, because when you look at yourself and achieving your goals, and it could be any type of goal, Let's take weight, for example, because we are either trying to lose weight or know somebody that is trying to lose weight. Do most people fail in their goals in the morning or in the evening? Why is the evening time when most of it, whether it be weight or anything else, most people fail in the evening times? Anybody know why? Because if it's weight or dieting, for example, you wake up in the morning, you're refreshed, you say no to the donuts, no to the bagels. But what we're finding is that this self-discipline, this willpower in a lot of ways is like a battery. Every time you say no, every time you resist, it drains the battery and it's not as strong for the next time you need it. So by the end of the day, there's nothing left. And that's where you say, oh, I don't care anymore. Nobody loves me. And you eat a whole gallon of ice cream. Okay. That's what happens with self-discipline. So when we notice successful people, especially in persuasion, because there's so much rejection, rejection will drain the battery. Negative emotions will drain the battery. Lack of sleep will drain the battery. Low blood sugar will drain the battery. Every time you resist or say no, it'll drain the battery. And if you're not aware of that, by the end of the day, you're not doing anything you're supposed to be doing. So what successful people have noticed, and what I've noticed with successful people, is they have a way to recharge that battery. In fact, what are some ways when you're feeling weak and your willpower's low, what are some ways to recharge your self-discipline battery, your willpower battery? Eating something, giving something a boost. For some people, they might want to take a walk. Humor works well, recharge your battery. Maybe you need to take a nap. Maybe you need to go to bed for the night. Everyone's a little different here. You just have to be aware of it, number one. That's what successful people do. And number two, have a game plan to fix it. Now, long-term, it might be stronger, your battery, but that day, it's weaker. So that's the first one we notice. The second one we notice, vision eliminates fear and procrastination, and it creates courage and persistence. This is important. This is where people blow up. Basically, the universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally. Talked about wealth and success is until you visualize yourself being wealthy or successful or doing it, it's not going to matter. Olympic athletes, they visualize themselves winning the gold medal. And there's an amazing correlation between athletes and people that are successful in business. Now, here's what happens to a lot of people. That when we talk about the vision or the opposite of vision, we have to talk about worry. The word worry comes from Old English, which means to strangle. Worry will strangle your vision. Worry is negative goal setting. It'll expend your energy. It'll suck the life out of you. Vision, on the other hand, will dictate your day-to-day decisions. Things become easy because you can see it, taste it, touch it, feel it. Winners win in advance. If you're going to run a marathon and you're like, oh, I'll try, I'll see how well I do, and you fall down and you skin your knee, you're going to quit. But if you've seen yourself crossing that finish line, you fall down, you skin your knee, you get up because it doesn't matter. Now, the non-sugar coated version here is if you're the type of person that tends to worry a lot, what that means is your vision's not strong enough. Maybe you need to sit down to hear that. If you get stuck in worry, you're worried about this, what if this happens, what about that, what about the economy, what about my area? If you get stuck in worry, it's because your vision's not strong enough and you don't believe that you can do it. You can't see yourself doing it. Because that's what a true vision is. You can see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it. Because when you get stuck on worry many times, it triggers what Zig Ziglar calls a loser's limp. It's basically your pre-excuse for failure. And we see this in persuasion all the time. Well, they probably wouldn't be interested. They're not the type of person. And when people are trying to be successful or have their own business, well, I don't have a college education, and I'm not good on the phone, and I'm not a people person, and I'm not good at negotiation, and I'm not sure how this will work out. Basically, you're giving yourself, your subconscious mind, a reason why it's okay to fail. In sports, well, the reasons they call it a loser's limp before the race. Well, my knee's been hurting, we'll see. And I haven't been practicing as much as I should. And, well, I was up late last night. You're giving yourself permission to fail. So you have to ask yourself, what is your loser's limp? For a lot of people, oh, got to get all my ducks in a row before I go out and try and do something. Well, I got to have a safe, secure job and have insurance versus becoming an entrepreneur. Whatever it is for you, that would be a loser's limp. That holds a lot of people back. Especially in sports, but also in real life, that if you're giving yourself a reason why it's okay to fail, that's exactly what's going to happen. The big thing here is we monitor those with very high persuasion IQs. A lot of it comes back to habit. Your habits. So the question of the day is, are your habits good or bad? The reality is we probably have a little bit of both. We have some good habits. We have bad habits. In reality, life, your bank account, your skills, where you are right now financially, is an accumulation of your habits. The challenge for most people is it takes time for habits to show up, for the consequences to show up. To be 30, 40 pounds overweight, that didn't happen over a couple weeks. It was a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit there. To be deep in debt, usually I didn't pay the credit off card here, I overcharged here, I didn't do here, I didn't do here. And all of a sudden, boom, you're deep in debt. Even addictions usually don't happen the very first time. It takes time for those consequences to show up. I mean, imagine if you went to a fast food restaurant and you knew you shouldn't eat the French fries. But what would happen if you had some French fries and every time you ate a bite of the burger and some French fries, your rear end got a little bigger? It was instant. You had another bite of the hamburger and your stomach got bigger. Would it be easy not to have that habit? The answer is probably absolutely. And that's a challenge with most people's habits. And you need to develop million-dollar habits. And so you have to ask yourself, what habits are holding you back? What are the long-term consequences here? And understand that habits dictate your future. Did you know that 90% of what you do on a day-to-day basis is based on your habits, your behavior? So you don't want to change a habit. We want you to replace it. Because we've heard, well, it takes 21 days to make a habit, and that's a good start, but it takes a lot more than that. We don't just change your habit because it's too difficult. We replace it. If you have a bad habit of watching too much TV at night, replace it with reading a book. If you have a bad habit of eating too much ice cream, replace it with yogurt. And you can just replace it. That makes a big difference. Really analyzing your habits goes a long way. And ask yourself, well, who has the habits that you want? It's amazing when you look at those that are very successful, very few people ask them out to lunch to pick their brains, especially like in a sales situation. No one wants to take out the top producer because, well, what if they won't come? What if this? Well, they're lucky. But then I talk to the top producer. They're more than willing to go out to lunch with people, but nobody asks them. So habits is a big one. Next one we need to analyze and talk about is your beliefs. Just like habits, you have good beliefs and you have bad beliefs. Your beliefs is your internal guidance system. Now, here's the challenge. When you were in first and second grade and you were told something about yourself or about money or about success, it became an instant belief and there's nothing you could do about it. Nothing. You didn't have the mental or cognitive ability to do that. So if you were young in first grade and you were told that you were smart, dumb, strange, weird, ADD, whether it be positive or negative, or you were told money doesn't grow on trees, you think I'm Rockefeller, whatever it is, that became a belief. And that holds a lot of people back because we can pick up beliefs from osmosis, from society, parents, experience, visualization. We pick up all these little beliefs. And a lot of us have beliefs that are holding us back. Everyone has a belief system, but this is what I want you to think about as we talk about reprogramming our brain for success. The challenge, and one of the reasons it takes people so long to achieve success or to achieve their goals or to get what they want, is they have conflicting beliefs. So if I had a torpedo with two different guidance systems telling it what to do, and I shot this torpedo at a target, what would happen? It would never hit the target, would it? And this is true with most people. They have conflicting beliefs. If two control towers were telling an airplane how to land, it would crash. You have to have, what are your conflicting belief systems? Some people think they want to be wealthy, but then money's the root of all evil. Do those beliefs conflict? They could. Now, in reality, they don't conflict, but they could conflict for you. You might have a belief to have a safe, secure job, but you want to be an entrepreneur. It could conflict for you. You want to have abundance, but deep down you have a belief that there's scarcity, there's not enough to go around. You want to get out of debt, but sometimes to get out of debt, it takes more debt. You want to spend more of your time with your family, but to do that, you need to spend less time with your family and go on and on. Think about it this week. What are your conflicting beliefs? If you want to be successful and you're wondering what's taking so long, a lot of times it comes back to those conflicting beliefs because you can never really hit those goals. Really have to really take a look at that belief system. Because the reality is that success is a subconscious conviction. The feeling of success produces success. And a lot of times we have to act like you already possess what you want. And there's been a lot of movies out there like The Secret or The Law of Attraction that if you just wish it and think it, it's going to happen. And people are sitting on the couch thinking, I'm the best and I'm wealthy. But they don't do anything about it, then they get hauled off to the funny farm. Okay, that's not what we want here. There's an element to the Law of Attraction. There's an element to subconscious conviction that we need to talk about here. And we notice with successful people that they spend time before they go to bed to visualize and think about success. They spend time to be alone with their thoughts. Because when you talk about your conscious versus subconscious mind, your conscious is your logical mind, and your subconscious is your emotional mind. How does your subconscious mind talk to you? It could be an instinct, an intuition, an impulse, a hunch, however you want to call it. That's how it talks to you. And this is what successful people do. We've talked about intuition. It's a big part of this. You have to realize that your thoughts control your emotions and your emotions control your actions. In fact, Napoleon Hill said in Think and Grow Rich that every impulse of thought that reaches the conscious mind is classified and recorded from which thoughts may be recalled. Meaning that anything you've ever learned or heard or listened to, it's recorded up there and it's the subconscious mind that can record it. I'd say 9 out of 10 people, I'll ask him, you're going to bed, you lost something, you were thinking about it, and you woke up, boom, you knew exactly where it was the next morning. That is your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind will not fight with you. See, the challenge with most people here is they're told they need to program their subconscious mind, and they'll say something like this. I am a millionaire. And they'll say it 3 or 4 times, but when you do that, what does your conscious mind do? Yeah, no, you're not. That's not going to happen, and they feel awkward, they feel uncomfortable, they never do it again. It takes time, but this is what successful people do. You learn to control your thoughts. Understanding your subconscious mind goes a long way for your success. Spend the time to program it. Watch the negative self-talk. Learn to control your thoughts. Understand your beliefs. It takes a lot of work. It does. But this is the biggest difference between mediocrity and super success. In fact, I've seen a lot of seminars. I was monitoring this seminar. It was a 5-day seminar. And the first day, they weren't allowed to talk about business or anything else. All they talked about was mindset, because that is the biggest challenge for most people. Even though the knee-jerk reaction is, I'm okay, it doesn't matter. We've never arrived. We're always working on it. Studies show that up to 96% of our thoughts tend to be very negative. And then everybody says, well, not my thoughts. But if you really deep down, that could really suck the life out of you and hurt your ability to persuade and influence. Because if you can't persuade yourself, it's very difficult for you to persuade other people. It really is. And if you can really monitor your beliefs, reprogram your subconscious mind, analyze your habits, and really get into that self-discipline, it's going to make a big difference. Because it's not IQ that'll make someone successful. The smartest people out there aren't the wealthiest. A lot of times it's the mental aspect of the game. So this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to think about. I want you to analyze your habits. What is the one habit that you need to replace this week? And come up with a game plan. What are you going to replace it with? Maybe part of it is looking around to see who has the habits that you want. Taking a millionaire to lunch, reading biographies of successful people can do it too. But the goal here is to develop million-dollar habits to adjust our mindset, because this is the biggest piece of people's success. Is the mindset. And on a sad note, it's the one they work on last. And it's been very surprising to me as I've worked on persuasion and sales that self-persuasion is such a big piece of this. Learning to persuade yourself, learning to motivate yourself is just as important as learning to deal and understand other people.